Well, good morning, everyone. Thank you very much for that introduction. And it sounds like you've got a pretty big day. It's wonderful to be here at the Executive Leaders Conference with a room full of people who really turn policy and objectives from our agencies, from our parliament, into practical action for millions of Australians. So can I thank you and your teams and your workforces in particular. To Laurie Lee and everyone at NDS, thank you for putting this on. It's wonderful to do a few things. Get everybody together in an environment where you, I think, over my time in Parliament, which is a bit over 10 years now, has been a period of rapid change and almost constant change. And I think the toll that that takes on your organisations, the toll it takes on your executive leadership teams and, of course, your workforces more broadly is something that I think is underestimated and underrated, and the opportunity that the NDS provides to bring each and every one of you together to perhaps console one another on some of the difficulties, but more importantly, work together on what's working for you and your organisations and how you can take that forward in your own is, I think, something that makes this event really important each and every year. And so, Laurie, and to you and to your team, I want to thank you in particular for the way that you engage with not just the government, but the opposition as well, which is something that we're very grateful for. To all the distinguished guests, ladies and gentlemen, those people online, there's a couple of things I wanted to do today in addressing you. And obviously we've had the DRC, which, as has just been noted, over 200 recommendations, a huge report, a lot to take in, and I'm pleased that you've got a session on that. We've obviously got the NDIS review that, to some extent, we're still trying to work through it from an opposition perspective as well. So the pace of change is huge. What I wanted to do was just give you a broad sense of my perspectives on these issues from an opposition and the way in which we all engage and work with, and at times hold the government to account on what they've promised, what they've committed to, and what is not a straightforward pathway forward on both the DRC or the NDIS review, and then the sector more broadly. And I must say, I have a good relationship with the Minister at a personal and at a professional level, but that doesn't mean a free kick or a free pass for the government or for him. And one area that I think has been spoken about a lot since the election is sustainability. It's the word that I think has been mentioned the most, and to some extent is part of your theme of sustainability. Before the election, it was not an area that the opposition focused heavily on, sustainability. In fact, we had a lot of criticism pointed in our direction from the then opposition about talking about the sustainability of the NDIS. The fact that the government has spoken a lot about sustainability and it's dovetailed its way into the NDIS review, I think highlights the point that what I'd like to see is oppositions need to say one thing before an election and the same thing after, and that's what I'll be endeavouring to do in this space. But one area of sustainability that's never spoken about is, well, not never spoken about, but perhaps not spoken about enough in Canberra, is the sustainability of your organisations. And all you need to do is open up the latest sustainability report from the NDS that shows some pretty startling statistics. On average, your organisations are running down their capital. So capital you've built up for years has been slowly being diminished. More than a third of your organisations have made losses. And so, whilst on one hand, we're going to work cooperatively with the government, particularly with respect to the sustainability of the NDIS, it cannot be decoupled from the sustainability of the organisations who deliver those services. And I don't think enough is spoken about, certainly from the government, on the financial sustainability of those, more than a third of the organisations who are in a loss position, or indeed the additional third on top of that who, as I said, are running down their capital. And so my recommendation is to the NDS and to you as a collective organisation is whenever the government's talking about sustainability, quite rightly, and we don't disagree with it, they've also got to be thinking about the sustainability of your organisations. The issues you've had to deal with, obviously the inflationary pressures throughout the economy, workforce shortages. It's quite remarkable, to be frank, that the sector's in the shape it's in. I think if somebody had got a crystal ball out 10 years ago and said these are the succession of issues that the sector will be dealing with, that you're in much better shape than I suspect most people would have predicted, but that's because in many respects there's been a remarkable effort. So again, on sustainability, we can't decouple sustainability of the NDIS or the broader disability framework from the sustainability of your organisations. That's the first point I want to make. Secondly, what I wanted to really emphasise with you today is, as a shadow minister, I'm not going to try and needlessly find areas to fight with the government in this space. I've said this to Bill personally. I think that was one of the mistakes he made in opposition. I think there were times where no doubt he picked a fight because he believed in it, but I do believe there were other times where he picked differences and picked fights for political purposes, and I'm not going to pretend to be purer than the driven snow here, but I don't think this is the sector that we do that. And so I've met with Bill, met with Bruce and Lisa, and really emphasised that where we can agree, where there are broad strokes of reform that are sensible, we're going to back the government in. Now, it doesn't mean a free kick on everything. It doesn't mean that there won't be some criticism on the way through, but our starting point will be, how do we facilitate in the best way and in the best interests of your users the reforms where they are sensible and where we agree with them philosophically. And based on what I saw in the NDIS review, I think we're off to a good start. Subject to that caveat on sustainability, I think there needs to be more of an emphasis on your sustainability as organisations, but subject to that, the concept of getting greater buy-in from our states and territories from a financial perspective, we can wholeheartedly agree with. Where we have concerns, and I think those concerns will need to be fleshed out over the coming months, will be with respect to some of the more totemic changes that are being announced with respect to foundational supports. And there's a range of areas where I think the implementation will ultimately be the devil in the detail. And I am comforted by the approach of Bruce and Lisa as far as, and the whole team, in ensuring that that implementation has the sector, has organisations and peak bodies like NDIS feeding directly into it. That gives me great comfort, but we'll need to make sure that the action meets the rhetoric with respect to that implementation. So if you think of it as getting through the first hurdle from an opposition's perspective, we are broadly of a view that we've got a set of recommendations and rhetoric from the government that's subject to implementation that lives up to those expectations, we can, in most cases, broadly support. And the reason I wanted to send that message to you today was not to try and be Mr. Nice Guy. Any of you who know me politically know that's probably not my natural inclination. But I think as a sector, and I've come into this with relatively fresh eyes, that the rancour and the constant evolution and revolution of the sector, to some extent, or the revolution at least, needs to cease. And we're coming into an election cycle in Australia. Elections are probably, they probably occur far too often at a federal level. So we're getting into an election cycle. You probably feel like you've all just taken a deep breath from the last one. And what I didn't want going into this election cycle was a sense of anxiety or stress amongst you and your organisations that the opposition, that our view will be, well, we're going to junk everything before us and start again. Where we can, and I think we're off to a decent start, where we can, we think that there's enough really worthy reform outlined in the NDIS review that we can work with in a forward implementation sense, irrespective of what happens at the election. And when I say I come into this with a relatively fresh pair of eyes, I was always sitting on the other side of the table. In the former government, I was, amongst many other portfolios, assistant treasurer. And I was always sitting on the side of the table with an NDIS minister who would come to our ERC, expenditure review committee, and in almost every case was asking for billions more in funding. And it would be remiss of me not to defend that legacy, that I can assure you each and every time that NDIS minister came to the table and asked for more money, the economic team in the coalition found that money. And the scheme, imperfect though it is a scheme that we took to more than 500,000 Australians. A scheme with all the issues that we hope that the NDIS review will deal with provided immense dignity and support for more than 500,000 Australians and their families. And that's something we're very proud of in the coalition. And I think we're rightly proud of that. So I'm here today to give you those assurances. In doing so, I have a request. In opposition, you don't have the benefit of big teams of intelligent public servants to give you the latest data, the latest trends, latest issues. And I just invite each and every one of you and your organisations in this implementation journey with respect to the NDIS review particularly, I would be very grateful. Of course, Laurie and her team at NDS already do this, but I would appreciate where you think things might be going off track or have the propensity potentially to go off track or where your voices are not being heard. My door's always open to hear from you, selfishly as much as anything, because you are the subject matter experts, and if we hear from you, then I'm going to be more able to prosecute those issues. So even though we're through that first hurdle of the review, I think the rubber hits the road now with implementation, and in that process I want to be a partner with you and a voice in the Parliament at the very least to ensure that it ultimately meets the objectives that we all hope. So thank you all for having me here this morning. I understand you had a big function last night, so the coffee cart probably was pretty necessary. But I do appreciate the engagement I've had with many of you to date and want to just reaffirm that I'm not here to find differences with the government, but I'm very happy to hold them to account. And I suspect that they will need that in this very important journey over the next 6 months as we start putting in the building blocks for the future of the NDIS post-review. So again, thank you for having me. Thank you to everybody who's contributed to this wonderful Leaders Conference. And I look forward over the next few months to hopefully speaking to as many of you as possible. Thank you very much.
Thank you.